We're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're up to Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph, in the standard Ein Yaakov's. It's Yud Daled Amud Beis. We had learned last time Rav Ula had expanded on the verse Al Tirshah Harbeh, don't be too wicked. So Rav Ula asked, what does that mean? Rav Ula had explained that sometimes when a person does one sin, so he feels like he's finished, and then he allows himself to do more. And that's why the verse says, don't do many sins. Don't be very wicked. You did one thing wrong, that don't allow yourself to do so many other things wrong. And we went on with the story about the soldier. You guys remember? The soldier who has some estan Shabbos, and then he caught himself and wasn't sure, should he go daven, should he not go daven? The whole idea of David HaMelech, that when he falls down, he doesn't say, I'm the wicked David. He recognizes, I'm the David who connects to Hashem. I've had a moment of weakness, but my weakness does not become my identity. And that's the important thing in building oneself, that we don't let our downfalls become our identity. Yes, I've fallen, but I am the person who's good. The fall is a fall, but that's not my identity card. And that's why we went to great lengths to understand how bad David's sin was, how many people paid for it with their lives. And even so, David says, I am the one who's connected to Hashem. That's who I am. He has blood on his hands. Uri Achiti's dead. The baby's dead. Avshalom's dead. His wives have been violated. He has a lot of pain that people have undergone because of his and their sins. Obviously, there's a joint responsibility here. But nonetheless, David is not willing to take on that identity. So that was what we discussed with Rav Ula. Rav Ula had said, Al Tirshah Harbeh, don't be very wicked, meaning even if you've done some things wrong, don't sell yourself short, don't give up on yourselves, and don't allow yourself then to continue doing other things wrong. Darash Rava Bar Rav Ula. Next we have a speech, it would seem it's Rav Ula's son, Rava, the son of Rav Ula. Mai Dichtiv. What does the verse mean? Ken Chaltzubot Lemotam Uvari Ulam. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Lo dayan narshayim sheinan charedin matzivin miyom amita. It's not enough that the wicked don't have any fear or any remorse as they think that the day will come when they will pass. Ela shelibam barilen keulam. But it's worse than that. They walk around as though they're confident and everything's great. And it's the exact opposite of the way it should be. V'haynu dama rabba. And that's what Rabbah taught, Mai Dichtiv Zedarkam Kesel Lamo. The verse says, this is their way, Kesel Lamo. Now the word Kesel has dual meaning. Kesel could mean foolishness. Kesel could also be the fat that covers a part, I think, of the spleen. So, Yod'im L'Shem Shedarkam Lamita. The wicked know they're headed to the grave. V'yesh Lehem Chelev Al Kisnam. But they have a fat, so to speak, that covers it over. They choose to ignore it. Let me forget that. Shema tomar shchuchai mehin. You might say, oh, they forget that they're going to die one day. Talmud lomar, that's why the verse continues and says, v'achihem b'fihem yurtzu sela. They speak about the fact that they're going to die, and they say it'll be all right. People have all kinds of stupid lines that they think are funny. It's okay, I better go to perdition, because that's where all my friends are going to be anyways. All kinds of lines, that's, but they're not real lines. Everyone understands that. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion of that Gemara. We begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah opens a Pandora's box. It's very relevant now to the season of Rosh Hashanah. Al shalosh averot nashim metot bishat leidatan. There are three sins that cause women to pass during childbirth. Al sheinan zehirot, because they're not careful, benida, with the laws of family purity, bechala, with the laws of separating a part of the dough to give the coin, uvadlakat haner, and their mitzvah of lighting light in honor of Shabbos. So, let's just analyze what's going on here. We're talking about women, because we're talking about childbirth. We're going to talk about men down the page. What causes men to die? When do men die? Now, women die all the time, just like men die all the time. Everyone has to die. The Mishnah is obviously indicating that there are times when people die even though they could have lived a longer life. So the Mishnah is opening up an interesting philosophical point. There's the time everyone's allotted, and then there are times when people might die even though they were allotted a longer life. You know, if a person drives off the cliff, could he say, if I wasn't meant to die, I'm going to live? Or do we say no? There are certain times where a person can endanger himself, and even though God allotted him many years, he brought his life to a close. The Mishnah certainly seems to indicate that there are times of danger when a person can die, even though potentially they could have lived a much longer life. Now, childbirth is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous today. It was always dangerous. We here in Israel tend to ignore the dangers, but depending on what country you give birth in, the rate of death, there are countries where the rate of death is over 1%. Over 1 in 100 women still today die at childbirth. Medicine has advanced tremendously. So if we have a certain percentage of births that are placenta previa, where the placenta attaches itself over the entrance to the womb and the baby can't get out, and so then what happens is the baby tries to come out, the woman bleeds, and being that the blood is connected to her body, she just bleeds to death. So they had that in the days of Chazal. They didn't know what it was. Today we have ultrasounds, we know. So today we can do a C-section, and every day there are babies born by C-section where the baby and the mother would have died. Oh, they might have sliced the baby up and the mother might not have died. Maybe. Meaning it would have been a question. So that's just one example. Another example is today we know that that you have different blood types. There's plus, there's minus. If the woman has a blood type that's minus and her husband is not, so then the baby can have a blood type that's plus. So the first baby that has a plus blood type, that's okay. But then what happens is the body develops antibodies to babies with a plus blood type. And then every time she'll have a baby with a plus blood type, there becomes a competition. His body fights her body. Her body sees a foreign object inside and tries to fight it. And so you have a dangerous situation. So this was common things. No one knew about this. Today a woman gets a shot. It's called the NTD. And fine, she gets the shot in the 20th week. She gets the shot after she delivers. And we don't even know about this. Like, simple thing, right? A woman that tears. So today they put stitches. And even so, many times a woman will have infections from the stitches. And those infections can really go deep. But still, it's very rare in modern medicine that a woman will die from childbirth. I'm just saying the act of giving birth is dangerous. Modern medicine has found ways around it. It's very understandable that up until 100, 150 years ago, women's lifespan was much shorter than men because you lost a huge percentage to death during childbirth or after childbirth, where they couldn't stop the bleeding, etc. They didn't have C-sections. So, if a woman, this happens very often, that a piece of the placenta stays inside. So that could cause a woman to bleed to death. That's simple. And today we can go inside with an ultrasound with machinery and clean it out. And that's something that happens also. It's fairly common. So childbirth up until this century was very dangerous. Up until 100 years ago, childbirth was very dangerous. Today, if you're in a place where there's modern medicine, so childbirth, the risks are down tremendously. So the Mishnah is talking about up until our century. The Mishnah is talking about when childbirth was a time of danger. So there are three major causes of death in heaven. Three sins that they are not careful. It doesn't say they're not observant of. They're not careful of Nida. What are the laws of Nida? So we'll skip to the laws of Nida today. We won't go through the evolvement, the biblical, the rabbinic. A woman has her onset, so she starts seeing her period. From that moment onward, the couple is prohibited. She waits until her onset ends, 4, 5, 6 days, and then she checks herself. She sees that she's clean. And then for 7 days, she'll check herself morning and night, see that she's clean. And then on the 7th day, after she checks herself a 14th time, aside from that first check, so she'll go to mikvah. So it requires a certain diligence to be on top of what's really going on. It requires a certain diligence to know when her onset began. When they go to mikvah, to cleanse themselves. When a woman goes to mikvah, it requires preparations that take over an hour. She takes the time to cut all her nails, to clean under her nails, to clean even that little hole where she puts her earrings, to clean every part of her body so that her body goes into the mikveh without any dirt on it. Every hair, you know, they comb their hair to make sure there are no knots in the hair. It's a lot of work. So a person has to be careful with regards to the laws of nida. So a woman has three responsibilities in the home, three mitzvot that are her soul, her prime responsibility. The acronym is Chana, right? Chana. Chala, Nida, Hadlakat Haner. And this goes back to before the Torah was given, when Jacob meets Rachel. He tells her, I'm scared your father is going to switch you for your sister. I'm going to give you a sign. When I come under the chuppah, you'll give me that sign, I'll know it's you. What's the sign? Here are the three mitzvot that are a woman's responsibility within our home. The Abraham, Isaac, Jacob home. So these are the three mitzvot. So the Torah obligates it, but it was already practiced before the Torah was given. Yes?
The three sins were the mitzvot to light candles, preparing laws, and what?
Challah. Challah is that we take off a piece of dough. When we make dough, we take off a piece and give it to the kohen, to the priest. Yes?
And also, halakhically, today we still treat some of the elders and child brothers.
To some degree, yes. Like on Shabbos, we would desecrate Shabbos on her behalf. Yes. Yes.
You mentioned if, even if she has like a knot in her head.
Correct.
If she has a knot in her head.
Hey, what we do is she combs her hair very well before she goes to the mikveh to ensure there are no knots. Correct? So we said there's the mitzvah of nida, there's the mitzvah of challah, there's the mitzvah of lighting a light so that on Shabbos there's light in the house. So the Gemara begins. Nida mai taima. Is Meir at 7:30 or 35?
Usually ends up 7:35.
Okay. Why is nida on the list? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ki kilkila bechadrei bitna, lefichach tilke bechadrei bitna. Well, nida actually is the easiest one, because nida is a sin that involves the womb. A person has to be careful with the menstruation that comes from the womb. So it makes sense that if she was destructive, or she ruined the mitzvah that involves her womb, so then when she needs help with her womb to give birth and to come out of it safely, so that it makes, we can see the line of reasoning there. Teinach nida, the Gemara says, okay, so I understood why family purity has to do with childbirth. Chalav adlakat anel ma'ika lemeima. But what does the mitzvah of taking off a piece of dough, chala, what does that have to do with childbirth? Turning on lights for Shabbos, what does that have to do with childbirth? Why is it that for these other mitzvot, she's taken to task at the time of childbirth? So this is where we'll have to pick up next time, we're out of time.